All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we are here till 5 a.m. We are going to talk about Christmas music, and it's already been played 24/7, so we're going to talk about that, but we're specifically going to talk about the worst Christmas songs of all time. We're also going to talk about worst menu items on every chain restaurant. Neil Young's birthday today. So we will talk about that as well. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. All right. So if anybody who's a regular listener, to the show knows that my movie going experiences when I was younger, when I was a kid, all involved the great movie palaces that were in the Loop, downtown Loop, and they weren't in great shape. They weren't in great shape when I went to see the movies down there in the 70s. They were kind of, at that point, they were kind of grindhouses, and they weren't in fantastic shape when I went down there. But they were still beautiful and fantastic, and I loved them. And there were like 15 theaters within a 4-block radius in the Loop, and that's just not the case anymore. It's not the case anymore a lot of places. So we wanted to talk about those great movie palaces. Joining me in studio is Gerald Gary. Hey, Gerald, how are you, man?
Great. Great, I'm doing well.
Good, man. And you are part of the Regal Avalon Theater, which is being refurbished and rebuilt.
That's right. The Avalon Regal Theater, located in the South Shore community, was born as the Avalon Theater in 1927, mm-hmm. and was revitalized in the late 80s to the tune of about $20 million, and was reborn as the New Regal Theater, and stayed open for about 10 or 15 years, and probably hasn't seen the light of day for the past 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. And we're involved with efforts bringing it back to the light of day.
I think that's great, man. I really do. And I want to bring into the conversation April Wright, who is the director of a movie called Going Attractions, the definitive story of movie palaces. And it's being screened tonight at a movie palace, by the way, at the Music Box Theater, tonight at 7 o'clock. And let's bring April in right here. Hi, April.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I'm hoping to get to Chicago in time for that screening tomorrow.
Yeah, now you're stuck in New York, right?
Yeah. They canceled a whole bunch of flights to Chicago after, I guess, a plane slid on the runway or something there,
yeah,
so they got all worried.
No. Yeah, the plane slid off the runway. There's some really creepy footage of that that's
Yikes.
Available
yeah.
online. So are you actually at LaGuardia right now?
I'm at a hotel right outside of LaGuardia,
oh, okay.
right at the airport. Yeah,
I was going to say, because that's like one of the worst places on the planet to be. So,
right. Well, now I can't say that I never spent the night in Queens, New York. Now I have.
Well, it's better than Disney ice capades at O'Hare.
Yeah,
apparently.
There you go. So, April, you're familiar, obviously, with the Avalon Regal.
Absolutely. We shot there, and Gerald is in the film.
Mm-hmm. We're very excited about that, and we're so happy to have you on. First of all, let me ask you about the movie itself. April, tell us about where it came from, what the idea that you wanted to celebrate these movie palaces, and let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's really a whole history of cinema, because it starts at the beginning of the motion picture, when we first saw these in, you know, penny arcades, and then Nickelodeons, and then in the 19-teens and 20s, these really gorgeous, ornate buildings were built just for us to see movies. I always say that in other countries, they built palaces for their royalty. We don't have royalty here, but we have movies, and that's what we built our palaces for. And you're right, all over Randolph and State Street, there were a ton of gorgeous movie palaces.
Yeah.
A few are left. People probably don't even realize the Oriental and the Palace and the Chicago were built for movies.
Right.
But we can get into all of that.
Yeah, no, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s, April, they weren't in great shape. At that point, they were kind of grindhouses, but you could still see the you could still see the beauty in them. And I treasure, you know, growing up in the 70s and going to see all those movies, you know, in those theaters in the Loop, even if they weren't in the greatest shape.
Yeah, when I lived in Chicago, which was after college in late 80s, I would go to the Logan, the Davis, the Village on Clark was still there.
Yeah.
And the United Artists was still there on Randolph, but it was closed down. And I just remember seeing it, walking by it, think, you know, it had that huge, huge marquee.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, why in the world would anybody let this get into bad shape? And you know, my family took us to not only movie palaces like this, but also drive-ins. And that's what really got me interested in this topic, is that I went to these theaters growing up, and I made a documentary first about drive-ins, and then the movie palaces was sort of the natural follow-up.
Yeah.
And Chicago has such beautiful movie palaces. I just had to really emphasize them in the film. So Chicago plays a really heavy role in the film.
Yeah. Well, Gerald, tell me about your background with the Avalon Regal.
Well, outside of growing up across the street from it, zero background in renovating vaudeville movie houses.
Yeah.
Let me say that for the record.
Mm-hmm.
But I always, you know, drove past the building. A lot of people think it's like a mosque or something that has to do with like Islamic culture, when mm-hmm. in fact it's just the architecture of the building, but you can see it from the skyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of this like mysterious building that a lot of people pass by and they're not really certain what it is or what's going on in there. And the history of the building itself is both fortunately and unfortunately lost to oral history. A lot mm-hmm. of people tell stories about shows and different productions that have happened at the building, but there's very little footage on YouTube, because, you know, when this place was really at its height, people didn't have camera phones, so there was no record outside of, say, for some articles about, you know, some of the larger shows that were happening at the theater. But most of the people really know how important this building is, but it's almost like a myth, you know.
Right.
You only know about the theater unless you know.
And his Gerald's Theater, the Avalon Regal Theater, was designed by an architect named John Everson. And his primary style was a style called an atmospheric theater, which when you walked into it, it has like a blue sky with twinkling stars,
sure.
sometimes with clouds moving across it. And he's a very famous architect. This is kind of a funny story. I went to a theater in Sydney, Australia, and I have a shot of it in the film. And they were telling me there that they had one there in Sydney and also one in New Zealand that was that style, the atmospheric style. And for, you know, a century, they thought that an Australian architect had designed it because they had national pride, so they had put the Australian architectural firm's name on it. And years later, they discovered the original blueprints, and turns out those theaters were also designed by John Everson
wow.
from the United States.
Yeah,
so,
you know, we have some of those in the city. The patio was had that was atmospheric. The music box where you're going to be screening the movie tomorrow,
and that's one as well. Yeah,
yeah, and there was one on Irving Park called the Commodore that I believe had those. That's another thing that I miss, April, is the neighborhood movie theaters. Like in the middle of a neighborhood in the city, there would be like a beautiful sort of movie palace where you could just go
exactly
and walk to. I miss that.
Yeah, and that's exactly the Avalon Regal Theater. It's right in smack dab in the middle of a neighborhood and at really the largest intersection of streets on the south side of
yeah.
the city. You got the Skyway coming down over there, but it's really a residential community.
Yeah. Yeah,
that this building is situated in, because
yeah.
again, it was built as a vaudeville movie palace.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
April, you've mentioned that you actually also made a film about drive-ins. That's another thing that's virtually dead. I have a friend who actually runs a drive-in in Dixon, Illinois, called the Midway, and he is devoted to keeping the drive-in alive. You know, and a lot of drive-ins closed when everybody had to switch to digital. Because it's the equipment is so expensive.
Very expensive,
But the drive-in is a special thing that I know a lot of young kids don't even know about. What was your experience when you were growing up going to the drive-in?
Well, when I was growing up, I grew up north of Chicago. I was in Zion. So we went to the drive-in in Grays Lake. We went to the one in Waukegan. And then there was one right across the border in Kenosha. And unfortunately, all of those are gone.
Yep.
And there was one in West Chicago that actually closed this year. And I think the one out in McHenry is the only one in the Chicago
area
anymore.
That's pretty much, yeah, that's the only one, really.
Yeah.
'Cause we used to go to the Twin Drive-In in Wheeling all the time. There was one called the Sunset in Lincolnwood that we would go to on a regular basis.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
Yeah,
Everybody went to these places growing up. Yeah.
Well, I've not seen that film, but I really do want to see it because I love the drive-in. But hey, April, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and Gerald, hang on, you too. Okay.
All right,
so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the movie and about the refurbishing of the Avalon Regal Theater. So we'll do all that coming up right here on 720 WGN. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Skyline studio here on a Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday, get your request in, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. I am joined live in studio with Gerald Gary, who is runs the Avalon Regal Theater and is getting it back into shape. And we're talking about movie palaces because being screened tonight at the Music Box Theater at 7 o'clock is Going Attractions, the definitive story of movie palaces. It's a terrific movie. And the director, April Wright, is here stuck in New York because of weather.
I'm going to be in Chicago tomorrow in time for that screening.
Yes.
And we have a Q&A afterwards. So
yeah, let me just say it's a terrific movie, April.
Thank you.
And, having grown up going to those places and seeing, Chicago featured prominently in the film, was really great. And what was it about, what motivated you to make this movie?
Well, I went to places like this growing up, and even as I got older and a lot of them were in disrepair, I really wanted to know why, what happened. And especially after college, I lived downtown. I lived in South Dearborn in the Printer's Row area, but I would go up to the Davis, to the Logan that were, now they've come back, they've been refurbished and restored, but those were neighborhood movie palaces that were not good condition at the time in the late 80s and the 90s. But if I had a choice between a multiplex or going to a theater like that where you could look around the room and see the beautiful proscenium and the curtains, the velvet curtains and just the beautiful environment, I would always choose that.
Yeah.
Because, it's just a better experience.
I agree. And, it's funny because I grew up very close to the Davis. I lived at Addison and Lincoln when I was a kid. And my friend Dan and I, every Saturday, no matter what was playing, we would walk to the Davis Theater. We'd go to the Hild Library first, and then we'd go to the Davis Theater, and we'd see whatever was playing there. And this was every Saturday, and it was always a double feature. And that was when the Davis was just one theater. Obviously now they've split it up. The Logan, same thing.
Exactly.
Logan used to be one theater, and they've split that one
up too.
That's right. It was great growing up. My dad would take me to the Loop on Sundays to see movies in those big theaters, and then on Saturdays I'd be at the Davis. And that's how I grew up.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing now is that, if these theaters are left, people probably wouldn't realize they were built for movies. But also there's so much streaming now, and for generations in this country, literally for 100 years, we all grew up with this experience of seeing movies on the big screen, larger than life. All the expressions that we use talk about this magical experience with the movies. And I think that's changing now with streaming and generations that maybe don't have this experience of seeing films in a theater like these.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Let's talk a little bit, Gerald. Kanye West is going to invest $1 million to help the Avalon Regal Theater get back on its feet.
That's correct. We're very excited to have his team involved. He's brought a tremendous amount of resources to the project. And as you can imagine, with the kind of star power he has, we're able to bring a lot of positive attention to the community.
Yeah. That's great. Now, how bad a shape is it in?
Well, you know what? Frankly, it's not in bad shape at all. We've been fortunate to have had most of the restoration already done in the late 80s. As I mentioned, there was a restoration done in 1987 is when the building reopened as the new Regal Theater. And most of the restorative work, as far as from an architectural perspective, was done at that time. Anything cosmetic that needs to be done at this point is really just touching up. Most of our work has been focused on upgrading the systems, the HVAC, the plumbing behind the walls, you know, all the unsexy stuff, if you will. But, you know, I'd much rather be dealing with plumbing than landmarks, quite frankly, on a project.
Yeah.
Like this. So we're fortunate in that regard that most of that work has already been done.
Do you have a timetable for getting it all up and running?
Well, you know, the timetable is always yesterday. So I like to say tomorrow, but coming soon to a theater near you.
Right. Now, I know it's not an easy thing, man. This is a big project, you know.
That's right.
It's so nice of Kanye to help you out with that kind of money. That's great, man.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
That's great.
Well, and I think the idea is you want to make it sort of like the Apollo is in Harlem to the South Side and have a full, you know, opportunity for cultural experience.
That's right. That's the idea. A lot of people see that community as really a desert of, you know, just really a lack of businesses. And our goal is to really bring back that building so we can create sort of a spark to the firestorm of development, if you will, that I think is possible in that area, and bring other things that can help the activity of the building.
That's great, man. Great. That's great. Good luck, man. April, tell me about the making of the movie. How long did it take you to do?
This one took me about 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I got Leonard Maltin on board pretty early.
Yep.
I saw him speaking one time, and I knew he was a film critic, but I learned that he also was a great historian and that he also had so much knowledge about the buildings themselves. So he was excellent. And then we shot most of the interviews fairly quickly. All the interviews are in a different movie palace. We also feature the Uptown in Chicago, which is another one we might want to talk about.
Yes.
And then it just took a while to do the editing because basically, from a creative standpoint, three people made the film. Me and my producing partner, Rachel Pond, she and I made the film, did the editing. She did a lot of the visual effects. And then we had a third person creatively named Chris Wermer who did the score, which audiences really love the score.
Absolutely.
And he's been a guitarist in the Charlie Daniels band for the last 20 years.
Wow.
So he writes songs with Charlie and records, but this is the first time he's done a film score, and he really did an amazing job. So,
you mentioned the Uptown. I've been championing the Uptown Theater to get back open because it is a beautiful theater. I remember when I was a kid, I went there to see movies. I saw the Iger Sanction with Clint Eastwood there. I remember specifically. And it was a concert venue, but lots of Prince played there and other really great bands played there. And it's just such a gorgeous building, and the lobby is unbelievable and everything. And it's just sitting there in Uptown, right, you know, next to the Green Mill, not really doing anything. And
not for much longer.
It's kind of a time capsule right now because it literally has been closed since the 80s.
Yep.
And it's had a little bit of water damage, but other than that, it needs restoration, but it's really magnificent. It's so ornate. It was one of the most beautiful movie palaces ever built.
Yep.
And they're also working on a restoration there, and we show clips of it in the film, which it's really hard to get to see that theater, so we were really lucky to finally get inside there and hoping that they get the rest of the funding they need to bring that place back to life. Because I would love to go in there and see a movie or a concert again.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that can bring that place back, it's Jerry Michelson. And here's a story for you. I actually used to intern for Jerry Michelson.
Oh, did you? I've had him on the show.
And he was the first person I called before I bought the Regal.
Is that right? Well, that's a smart thing to do.
Jerry, I need you to pray for me.
Gerald, did you grow up going to the Avalon Regal?
I've been to a few shows, but for the most part, as I said earlier, most of the stuff was happening in the 90s, and I was too young. You know, I went to maybe a few free, you know, shows the Chicago Symphonette I might have done in the holiday season or something. But
yeah. What was it like growing up across the street from the place, though?
Well, you know, it was crazy. I mean, I always saw cars. It was always busy. So yeah. I really saw the impact of the lack thereof, if you will, that happened when the building shut down. I mean,
yeah.
There's so many different businesses located around the business that were dependent on all of those folks coming, you know, every night.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be April. Yeah. I'm so excited for you to show your movie in a movie palace because the Music Box is a beautiful theater. One of my favorite places, and the programming that they do there, they do it right. The people at the Music Box know what they're doing, and they do it right, and it's great. And I'm so excited for you to show your movie there tonight.
Yeah, me too, because when I lived in Chicago, I went to the Music Box all the time.
Yeah.
So it's really personally very exciting for me to go back. Well, it was exciting for me to shoot in the Music Box.
Sure.
We shot one of the interviews in there, and it's featured in the film. But to actually play the documentary there is really cool for me.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fantastic, and I urge everybody to go out and see it. I really do. Come on out tonight. April will be there. She promises.
Mm-hmm. I will be there, and Gerald will be there. Jerry will be there. We'll be talking about all these theaters and especially about the Chicago history, and people will probably remember a lot of the places they'll see in the film.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Well, it's a terrific movie, and everybody should go and check it out tonight. It's going to be a special night, 7 o'clock at the Music Box Theater. Going Attractions, the definitive story of movie palaces, and then stick around afterwards for a Q&A, and April will be there. Gerald, good luck. Good luck with your with the theater, and I hope it opens soon.
Thanks a lot.
And April, thank you very much, and safe travels, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care. There's April Wright. She's the director. And Gerald, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, tonight, Going Attractions, the definitive story of movie palaces, 7 o'clock at the Music Box Theater. It's a really beautiful film. So, okay, we'll take a quick break for the news right here on 720 WGN.